If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Here we go. It's Hour 5 G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Thanks for making us part of it. You have Jordan Lewis coming up in the Cowboys Hour at 7 o'clock, 7 to 8, and then The Fan After Dark at the conclusion of that Cowboys specialty show that you get every Monday night during the Cowboys season. NFC East defensive backs, popular subjects and interviews on podcast tonight as you have Eagles DB Darius Slay on with Micah Parsons this evening. You know, he wanted to talk to players from his favorite team.
That's interesting. I know Eagle fans aren't happy because the Eagles just got smacked. So now, like, after you get just completely destroyed, you're going on a Cowboys players podcast. But, I mean, from a Cowboy fan standpoint as well, it's like, nah, I don't love it. I know they're friends, and they talk during the offseason. And hey, maybe there's probably some good audio coming from that. But in season, I don't know. I like the rivalry.
Yeah. No, I hear you. It's not the worst thing in the world. I think players talking with players from other teams during the NFL season can be kind of cool.
Yeah.
But when it's rivals.
Don't put an Eagle, Giant, or Commander on the show.
He got us talking about him, though, and we'll probably, you know, get quite a few highlights and quite a few tune-ins. I think it's probably good business to do that. I don't know. You know, for me, it's just another sign that makes my sentiment towards Micah linger towards the, maybe it might be better if you move on from him. You know, I don't know how complete of a player he is. He's a guy that rushes the passer well. If you need him to do anything else as a linebacker, I think it's kind of mid.
Well, start to the season certainly hasn't been that good. You know, I mean, it's a huge loss not having him. He's your best defensive player to where now offenses are having to scheme around him. I mean, you can see all the help that teams have to provide to try and stop Micah, but...
And when you don't have pass rush, it's miserable.
But still, I mean, I hear what you're saying. I mean, I certainly want to see more specifically in late game clutch situations, like what we just saw from Chris Jones. And maybe it's unfair. Maybe my expectation level is just something that it's unfair to ask, and there's only a select few special type of players, but that's kind of the money they're going to be paying him.
Yeah, you want to set the market. I kind of would like a complete player.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I think that, you know, and his sack totals aren't elite. They're 30% under what the league leaders are getting to.
Yeah, he's never hit 15 sacks yet. And I lost my beard 2 years ago because of that. No beard for me.
Boy, you guys are throwing a lot of dirt on that man.
He's a great player, you know, and I do want to recognize that. But when you're team building and you're really up against the cap and you're not in a championship window with a guy around 25 years old at a position that doesn't age well, you know, I think the best asset management would be how many first round draft picks could we get out of this?
Would you give him, okay, what if you don't get multiple? What if you only get one? Is it worth it to you?
It better be a really bad team. You know, or a team that's had their starting quarterback get hurt and they're heading for top 10.
Somebody's going to have to give up a very high pick and they're going to have to pay that guy.
Yeah.
That's a double whammy right there.
It happens. I mean,
because you usually.
They did it with Tyreek Hill and Christian McCaffrey, and that's the caliber of player we're talking about.
You take that player and, you know, you take that pick and you draft a player and you get 5 years of.
Yeah, much more manageable labor.
Cheap labor there, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's tough to imagine that a team that's picking high is going to make that trade because that feels like the type of trade that a team that feels like they're close to winning something would make that trade. You know, so I feel like if you're the Cowboys and you're trading with a team.
He didn't have a pass rusher, you might trade for him. If you're a team that didn't have a pass rusher, a bad team, maybe all year long you've been getting beat because you don't have a pass rusher. You know,
if that's your big weakness and everything else is good, to Chief's point, like that's the kind of team that would trade for him. Yeah. To me, that's only a team that's probably had their starting quarterback get hurt, and now they're heading for a bad record, but with big expectations in 2025. Mm-hmm.
What if the Commanders say the Commanders win the division, and they end up with the 25th pick? You know,
we need two of those.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not talking to you unless it's two ones.
What if?
Then sorry.
Okay,
we're hanging up the phone.
So then we're going to hang up the phone, but we got to hand you $30 million a year, right?
I don't think so. You can just ride it out. It's not like he's an unrestricted free agent. It's not like he's got you completely by the balls.
Yeah, he's under contract.
You just got to ride it
out,
bro.
What do you mean ride it out?
Tag him twice. Well,
I wonder what the tag number.
He's going into his fourth year, right?
Right.
So, and he's got a 5-year deal. So you got two more years plus. The franchise tag.
Yeah, you don't even have to do anything.
You have 4 years of control over him technically, starting next year.
But you don't have to exercise anything in this upcoming offseason to just say, Mike, if you don't want to show up to training camp and you want to hold out, that's totally fine on you. But we don't have to do anything. And you just saw how quickly it is you can get hurt and rolled up on. So if you want to risk that, then that's fine. But yeah. The Cowboys don't have to do anything.
And it's going to be an expensive tag. I mean, that's
what I have to say.
But it's not quarterback.
And then if you turn around and do it again, it's 110% or
more. The team that trades for him is going to most likely give him a deal, or else they're not going to do
it. Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why a lot of teams don't do it, because they don't want to give up the pick.
Right.
And they don't want to
But it's also a specialty situation, like with Khalil Mack. You've got maybe a top three pass rusher in all the sport. That's the kind of deal that you're going to have to make if you want to get that talent. No one's saying he's not talented, but is the best interest of the Cowboys long-term to give a player set amount of money when you're already paying some of your other guys top of the market and you're a draft and developing team? I don't know. But Stephen Jones did say on our airwaves they've already earmarked the money to pay him. So I don't think he's going anywhere, but it is funny where it's like, man, you're taking a little bit of hunger off a guy when I can sit back and I know I'm getting paid by the Cowboys.
Well, I mean, look at Washington. Last year, they're like, hey, we're not contenders. Let's trade our two pass rushers, see what happens. You know, and I think they've set themselves up for the mid to long-term future to be in a better situation.
Yeah.
It's nothing against Micah, you know. I don't really have that big of an issue with interviewing other guys, you know, or wanting to be more of a leader than you are. Everybody figures out who they are in their years after college. You know, I just want the Cowboys to look at their down years as opportunities to accrue the kind of assets that will spell championship in the future. And if you're going to be a draft and develop team, then you have to figure out a way. How are we going to get more draft picks? How are we going to get more quality young players in the first 4 years of their deal? And it's to take your amazing players and trade them for draft picks. Now, over the course of 5 years, maybe we're going to have 8 first round picks and 7 second round picks. And now you give yourself an actual chance of building the kind of roster just through the draft. But you got to choose which years you want to be really good and which years you want to use as developing and build type of years.
As a linebacker, it's $24 million. As a defensive end, it's $21 million.
For the franchise tag?
Wow. And yeah. This is the first year he's been listed on the depth chart as a defensive end, too.
And he's going to try to break 30. Is that right?
I would expect
in APY. Yeah. Oh, it'll be more than that, because Bosa's, I think, sitting at 35.
Yeah, he's probably going to try and go for 40.
It's easy, you know. You can't justify that.
Well, the around the bases brought to you by Uber Eats, getting some baseball in. It is a shame that our Rangers not playing for October. I did just see this, which you're going to allude to, but we do have the playoff field. It is now done, as they went ahead and split the doubleheader.
They split it.
Mets and Braves. Mets won the first game. Braves did get the second one, which means your defending National League champion, Arizona Diamondbacks, eliminated.
Yeah.
So the two teams in the World Series last year, the Rangers and D-backs, unable to make it back to October this year. So we're going to get the game started off tomorrow, 1:30 local time. It's going to be the hated Astros hosting their former manager, A.J. Hinch, and the Detroit Tigers. It's going to be Framber Valdez against Tarek Skubal, who should win the AL Cy Young at Minute Maid Park. Royals, Orioles to follow that in the American League.
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers, big time.
You had 3 hits in the game. The Mets, from the Mets side, six on the Braves side.
Maybe they did have a handshake agreement there.
Yeah, maybe just worked out that way.
Now, we did just get very, very sad news that I just saw from multiple sources now that has been confirmed on the same day that Dikembe Mutombo passed away. Apparently, MLB legend Pete Rose has also passed away at the age of 83. Major League's hit king passed away earlier today at his home in Las Vegas, according to his agent, Ryan Fitterman of Fitterman Sports, confirming the news, saying the family is asking for privacy at this time. So, really tragic day, especially for those, you know, Red fans, played for the Phillies, the Expos, and we know about the gambling, you know, issue, which is why ultimately he kind of got stripped of everything Major League Baseball-wise, but in one of the greatest players of all time, 24-season career.
Yeah, my dad was a big Reds fan as a kid, and so especially in his college years, where I was born in Ohio, so growing up, like, Pete Rose was the guy, you know, and when you would go to slide, you were either going feet first or you were doing a Petey. You know, it's
head first.
He was, I can't give, you know, enough value to the words of how big of a figure that he was. You know, this is early to mid 80s, but you're talking the size of a Michael Jordan, you know, or a Babe Ruth type of figure, a historic great is what Pete Rose was. It'd be interesting to see a player like him come through in today's game.
Because
it was all average. It was very little power. It was get on and run. And he was obviously great at it.
But one of the best nicknames in the game, too.
Yes.
Charlie Hustle.
Charlie Hustle.
Yeah. And obviously, Tex, you know, not a great guy. You know, not an ambassador for baseball or humanity. But just as a player, he was, you know, somebody that I think everybody that played the game looked up to with his intensity.
Yeah, 17 All-Stars, won three World Series, was the 1973 NL MVP, and of course, 4,256 hits over his 24-season career. An incredible career, and rest in peace, Pete Rose, and you know, thoughts and condolences to his family. What a day in the sports world, just losing a couple of legends.
Hell, 83 for being a fast and strong, you know, party guy, liver, you know, that's a hell of a run. Dikembe Mutombo, 58.
Yeah.
Well, we did get news, speaking of uniforms.
Mm.
We're going to get players going back to their primary home and road unis at the All-Star Game next year.
There we go.
I think this is good.
Yeah,
We weren't really loving what we saw with the jerseys in the American League and National League this year when it was at Globe Life Field. Go back to the way it was. Yeah. I think that this is better for the sport.
Yeah, and get the old manufacturing done. We shouldn't be looking at jerseys and think, oh, that reminds me of, you know, when you're on one of those independent youth sports teams that doesn't have the partnership with Nike or Adidas, this is what you go get printed up at the mall. That was brutal craftsmanship there on that.
Yeah, and the sweat, I mean, if you're wearing the gray unis, it did not absorb well.
No.
See-through pants, we had a lot of issues this year. Sporzy, one of the certain heroes for the Rangers' amazing run last year. It was actually, like, really sad as I was prepping for the show today. I was looking at the morning news. They were like, as you reflect on the Rangers' season being over, let's look back at this time a year ago. And it was, like, all the articles from their postseason run and just remembering just how incredible and special that was, like, a year ago this time.
Yeah.
But we'll always have that. We just got to hope Rangers can get back next year.
Yeah, an enchanted period of time. But, you know, what I think about is just how fortunate they were, you know, to catch all these breaks in various series where you get a double play ball that Josh Young just is an absolute wizard on in Baltimore. And, you know, the way that the Houston thing ended, it was crazy that the actual World Series was played pretty much without drama after, you know, after it left Texas, you know,
you essentially had two starting pitchers in Eovaldi and Montgomery that you could count on, and then two bullpen arms that you really relied on, and Spores and Leclerc. Now, speaking of Spores, he's going to begin the offseason visiting a shoulder specialist. So that's going to have a major impact on his next contract. He's another guy that I guess the Rangers are going to have to decide, you know, what to do with him moving forward. But was placed on the IL list, rotator cuff issues. I mean, he was just banged up and hurt the entirety of the season, it felt like.
So that's the worst injury to try to play pitcher through.
Man, so hopefully that gets figured out. A specialist helps him because, I mean, Sporzy was it was dominant during October. He was really, really clutch, but he has had just ups and downs throughout his career outside of that month.
And he had some good moments this year.
He did.
You know, where when he's got it going, it's nasty. And that would be a heck of an asset. Hopefully he can get the career back online.
You know, one thing everyone can get around, and that's free beer, right? Free beer for most people.
Where is
this? You're
going
to say yes, thank you very much. Well, if you were at the Cubs final game yesterday, Ian Happ.
Oh, he bought him beers.
He tossed a baseball with a few $100 bills attached to it in the left field stands and said on a note to buy beer for all the fans in the section. Thank you very much. So he's going ahead and taking care of everybody in left field. He went 0 for 4 at the plate with a walk, so it wasn't a great day for him. But he spent the entirety of his career there so far in Chicago, and he just wanted to get back a little bit. So if you were in left field at Wrigley yesterday, you got treated some free beers on Ian Happ. You don't hear about that often.
No, that's terrific stuff. That's investing in, you know, fan favoritism.
My next question is, how much is a beer at Wrigley Field? That's my next question. Because
$11 probably.
I know when I went to the Cubby Bear, they were a lot less expensive than sitting in that stadium and drinking beer.
Yeah, we just discussed, I mean, Pete Rose passing away at 83. Definitely a historic day and a sad day.
Got it, Dawson?
In Major League Baseball.
24 ounces, or you're looking at $15.
15?
That's a
24 ounces.
That's definitely a man-sized beer, though.
Yeah.
All right.
It's not a bad deal.
But with tax, though, with tax, you're probably looking at more like $18 for a 24-ouncer.
All right. We got to run. We're back with us. Do we not got to run, Will Chuck?
No, no, we're good.
We're good? Okay.
Bought five beers for everybody.
We're back with a sports hodgepodge, Chief. Where are you taking it?
More fallout from the football weekend and, well, some other fun stuff next year.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, bathroom? Just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're in the Nation.
Welcome back, Nation. NBA Media Days today. Talked Mavs with you earlier. In San Antonio, the scoop is Victor Wembanyama, 25 pounds heavier than last year. He was at 210. Now he's 235. He's still super shredded. It just looks more muscular. And I just want to say the Mavs need to get a championship before he is ready to dominate. And that might be this year. That might be next year. But at some point, Victor Wembanyama is going to be the most dominant force we have seen in this league. And that might just be, like, since Wilt Chamberlain was playing against 6'5" dudes, like, it's that much of an advantage. So, I guess enjoy the time that San Antonio is down for now, and then hope that he gets traded to the Eastern Conference. Holy crap.
Pull a Kawhi on us,
or
please.
Or he demands to leave.
Yeah. San Antonio's a small town. You know, you want to get the most out of your branding and your endorsements. You got to go to a top five market. Like Dallas, you know. Segment here brought to you by Window Nation. Go to windownation.com. And it's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's hurt in an accident due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels and get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And let's talk to the Chief with a sports hodgepodge.
You know, I've been thinking all day trying to come up with one single reason why anyone should watch the Dolphins-Titans Monday Night Football game tonight, and I've pretty much come up empty-handed. Best I got for you is you get to watch the wild, rabid nature of Will Levis playing quarterback, and you're in store for at least two or three plays a game that leave your head spinning completely. And you're hopeful, of course, in that moment that you'll get to see in real time his head coach berate him with cuss words and things because he's so flabbergasted at the stupidity. So that's really the best I got for you in terms of that Monday Night Football game. But Lions and Seahawks.
That's a spicy one.
That's a
I'm in on that.
That's a double spicy. Okay, that's a double spicy deluxe, if you ask me, Walchuk. I'm looking forward to that one in a huge way. How about the Dolphins, though, as they get set for kickoff here? And, of course, they're just as injured as any team as you could imagine at this point. UNT Zone, our guy Jeff Wilson Jr., apparently sustaining a knee injury in pregame warmups, and he's now been downgraded to questionable for the game.
Friday Elkhart.
They're already, it's basically just Achan and Jalen Wright in the backfield for the Dolphins. And, of course, they'll be taking handoffs and screen passes and checkdowns from Tyler Huntley.
Pro bowler.
Pro bowl quarterback.
Tyler Huntley.
And, of course.
Maybe he can throw a touchdown to Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think watching Tyreek Hill, maybe seeing Tony Pollard, you know, those might be like interesting little side stories. Tyreek Hill's always, you know, interesting to check out, but.
I guess he's never caught a touchdown in a Dolphins uniform from anybody besides Tua.
That's right. True.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I hope their quarterback play is so bad that they would want to trade for Trey Lance. You know? That would be another thing to look at. But
well, apparently Adam Schefter reported there a few minutes ago on ESPN.
NBA's Adam Schefter?
Yeah. Ultimate insider Adam Schefter reporting that Tua is apparently symptom-free from his concussion.
Oh.
And appears to be on track to return to the field as soon as week 8. That's just, oh my gosh, that's a scary one. And when you consider like what we're seeing right now happen to a guy like Brett Favre, where he's like in his early 50s and he's got the Parkinson's situation. And we know that's something that was a badge of honor for Brett Favre. And one of the things we talk about, just his toughness, all the consecutive starts and
all the hydrocodone he took to mask the pain.
Legendary. There's a lot of that stuff.
Really, truly legendary. But the effects of that long term, and it's not even that long term for Favre, dude. I mean, he's been out of the league for not that long. This is the type of report you expect to see from more like 65 or 75 as opposed to 55. Yeah. So, and if you're Tua and his family, you have to be looking at that, seeing like, really? Is it worth it for that dude? Because you may be symptom-free right now. Let's wake up in 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
Scary situation.
It is.
Also, speaking of Brett Favre, Jordan Love walking into Lambeau yesterday wearing the Favre jersey and then doing the thing that only Brett Favre has done in a Packer uniform, which to the 4-touchdown, 3-interception game. He went full Favre yesterday.
Man, hey, that fourth quarter was very nice for Jordan Love, but the rest of the game was like, ooh, ouch, this is not looking good right now, and the Vikings were looking fantastic.
Yeah, and I don't support the guy who tweeted out that by way of trying to honor Brett Favre yesterday, Jordan Love played like he had Parkinson's. I don't support that. At least for the first
very
three
not
quarters,
funny.
Right, Walchuk?
Oh, yeah.
Now, elsewhere in football, Baker Mayfield, yes, the scoreboard says something, but reality says another. He took an L yesterday.
Yeah, he did. He sure did. And I didn't realize what he had said about Brady until afterwards, and Brady had clapped back.
Okay, so you might have been out last. I think you were out last week when we talked about this, Walchuk, because there was a podcast that Baker Mayfield went on.
Saw the clip now.
Yeah, okay.
But I think I was probably like fever just
you were down
bed.
You were out for the count but I
turned off the world
whenever we were discussing it last week. I didn't realize that we were about to get Brady on the call for Baker's game, so what an added element to that. And of course it got brought up in the booth, and basically the gist of what Baker had said was when he replaced Tom Brady, Tom Brady obviously retires, Baker takes over in Tampa, and Baker was just saying like the vibe, like they just need somebody that come in there and be a little bit more fun. It was too high strung and stressful when Brady was there, and he would purposely throw incomplete passes on plays that he didn't like that the coaches were calling and stuff like that. So
I love it.
That's the stuff that Baker was alleging into a random podcast. And now you have Tom Brady on the call for a Baker Mayfield game. And again, despite what the scoreboard says, Baker took an L yesterday. Here's Brady in the booth.
Took a little playful jab at our guy here. Said, quote, "They wanted me to come in, be myself, bring the joy back to football for guys who weren't having as much fun." It's funny because you've made this environment for me very stressful up here in the booth, so I understand where he's coming from.
Do you feel it?
No.
Feel the stress? No. Well, I was going to say, I thought stressful was not having Super Bowl rings. So there was a mindset of a champion that I took to work every day. This wasn't daycare. If I wanted to have fun, I was going to go to Disneyland with my kids.
Yeah, so, as you were saying, go ahead. That's you feel like there's more in there to say.
there's a way to approach this game.
Yeah.
And it's that with the right mindset and try to push each other outside of our comfort zone. And great teammates do that. You come in, I have someone like Gronkowski, I have someone like Evans. There's high expectations for us. We got to make sure we go out there and deliver.
The competitive juice is still flowing.
It's still in there.
I love it.
No apologies.
Yeah, you could hear it in his voice.
Oh, yeah.
The energy was coming through there. So I love it. I do think there's multiple ways to lead as long as you're genuine. You know, being a massive Richard was Tom's style, you know, and it worked for him. I think Baker's is different, and you could say it's working for him pretty good. So, but I love that. You know, I think a lot of the greats, you know, you could go Michael Jordan, you could go Kobe Bryant, you could go Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Kobe quit practice and throw a ball at you.
Yeah.
Call you all B words.
Yeah, you know, I think
he would wonder aloud in real time, why would I pass you the ball?
Yeah. It's a different intensity for the greats.
I mean, and you know, at least Kobe, I don't know about Jordan's personality off the court, but everybody loves Kobe off the court. You know, super likable, super giving, generous type of dude. But I think so many of the greats have that ability to lock in. Yeah. And if you don't share that trait with them and you're on your team, you probably think they're doing too much. But like, that's the reason that they're so driven to be better than everybody else.
Yeah.
There's a lot of players who can throw it straight or jump high or whatever it might be that you need to dominate a sport. Who's more obsessed with it and gets like viscerally shaken when they lose?
Absolutely.
And they get so motivated to make sure it never happens again. They don't care if you don't like them. They're like, good, don't like me. Just do your job better, okay? We're trying to win, you know?
It's in daycare.
We need that from Tom here with the Cowboys.
Who was that in the booth with, Tom?
Burkhardt.
Kevin Burkhardt.
He was scared.
He was scared. He was a little nervous.
A little friendly jab, right, Tom?
Took a little playful jab at our guy here.
Yeah, a little playful jab, right?
This is funsies.
This is cool, right? We're okay, buddy. Huh?
No, Kevin, I was serious. I was serious every time I said it.
He was scared.
Where are you going to go with this one?
Bears fans were down bad yesterday, though, because they found out during that same broadcast that Brady said that he was inches away from picking the Bears when he was the free agent in 2020 and over the Bucks.
Wow.
So finding that out, if you're a Bears fan, is that just something like the less I know, the better? Don't even tell me.
Yeah.
I don't even want to know about that. I've been fighting through Trubisky and Justin Fields over the last 4 years. Don't tell me now that we almost had a chance at you, Tom.
I mean, what would be even worse is if you rooted or covered a team that, when Peyton Manning and Tom Brady became available, didn't even want them because they had number 9 and number 4.
That's right.
Oh, we're good here. Goats?
Nah.
Believe in our guy.
Don't need him.
I mean, but really, who needs a goat at quarterback?
But you don't, right?
I don't know that the Oklahoma Sooners have a goat at quarterback, but I'll tell you what, Michael Hawkins, My boy can play. You start to wonder, like, was there really an opportunity for him during fall camp and whatnot to actually earn that job? Because he looks a heck of a lot better than what they were running out there the first couple weeks of the season. Holy smokes, you have OU with a legitimate quarterback now, and they are going into Auburn. Welcome to the SEC, Michael Hawkins. And he goes out there and has himself one heck of an afternoon, and I'm sure Oklahoma fans are feeling fantastic. That actually makes the looming OU-Texas game look even more legit, because it was like, okay, maybe Texas, like with Jackson Arnold at the quarterback position there for OU, it's like Texas is probably going to tear him up pretty good. But now, Michael Hawkins, this dude has, and he's a true freshman, but he's got wheels, he's dual threat, showed some toughness and some moxie there. So, big shout out to Oklahoma. They might actually have a quarterback now, and that's exactly what you need if you want to really start doing some fun things. I mean, look at Miami with Cam Ward right now. You finally have a quarterback, and you're doing some fun stuff. I thought Jalen Milroe was awesome.
Jalen Milroe was fantastic. Peyton Thorne was terrible for Auburn. He lost in that football game.
Well, Auburn's entire situation.
God, that was brutal to see that. Like, Auburn fans I saw were leaving the game thinking they had won this thing, and like, Peyton Thorne throws that pick six. It was game over. Yeah. But Milroe, every time I watch Milroe play, like, I went from thinking Jalen Milroe
can't throw.
He can't throw.
Yeah.
And every time I've watched him, like, all through last year, and then this Saturday, he's just getting better and better. Like, Jalen Milroe is very, very impressive.
Yeah, I mean, this dude, I'm looking forward to this upcoming draft process as it pertains to these quarterbacks, because I don't know that anybody's necessarily running away with it, but Milroe, the way that he was able to, I mean, his throwing has gotten considerably better for sure. And his running ability is through the roof. Like somebody will find a way to get the most out of him, even at the NFL level, I would have to imagine. Now, nobody's been maybe more impressive than the Boise State running back in all of college football. Like, I don't know how much of a Heisman opportunity they're going to grant this kid. But Ashton Jeffrey, Genty, he's the upcoming number one running back in the class, right?
He's put himself in that conversation.
Yeah, Dane Brewer talks about him all the time, yeah.
Okay, and this apparently supposed to be a pretty good draft class at the running back position again.
Quinshon Judkins, I mean, Ohio State's got two guys, Travion Henderson, you got Ollie Gordon, who probably came in, is like one of the most thought of guys at Oklahoma State. There's a lot. I mean, North Carolina's got a kid. J.D. Giddens at Kansas State, I think, is an underrated player. There's a lot of good running backs in this year's draft.
This Genty, though, I mean, this dude, I guarantee you, this dude, like, grunts and growls when he runs. He has to. He's carrying five or six dudes at a time. He had a 64-yard touchdown run where I'm pretty sure every defender missed him twice. I mean, he ran for 259 yards and four touchdowns over the weekend. And it's interesting because he has on the season already 845 yards and 13 touchdowns in four games. But he was also taken out of the game early at halftime versus Portland State because they were dominating him. He had 127 yards and no touchdowns in that first half. But with two more quarters of play under his belt here, he'd probably be over 1,000 yards right now in four games. He's averaging over 10 yards per carry. So much love to him. There were some big-time superstars. Travis Hunter once again showing up and showing out for Colorado. And this was actually pretty interesting. We had here's a clip of Deion Sanders. He was on the Chad Johnson and Shannon Sharp Nightcap podcast.
Oh.
And they you'll hear Chad Johnson talking about the Raiders as a team that needs a quarterback. And like tying Shadur there, and listen to the way Deion reacts.
Can I tell you something real quick?
Yeah.
There's a place out west, right, that could use a quarterback. They don't have a quarterback. They don't have a stable quarterback.
Who?
They got an owner by the name of Mark Davis.
Yeah, they're gonna probably have a high round draft pick too.
We good. We good, though. We good.
Are you good?
Yeah, leave that alone.
Okay.
We good. We appreciate that.
I mean, did I say this upcoming quarterback draft class is going to be interesting?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, man. And we knew, like, we've this isn't the first time that Deion has lent voice to Shadur and Travis Hunter wanting to kind of have some spots that they want to hand pick. And we'll see how much of that they can get away with there, because it's going to be both of them. I mean, with
Travis Hunter, my gosh.
Travis Hunter continues. I mean, he walked out.
Bland.
Yeah, he walked out into the pregame warmups with a T-shirt that just said bland on it, which was in honor of Richard Sherman calling him a bland wide receiver. Nice. Just like 48 hours prior. He's already got merch probably on the team shop ready to go. Probably had half the stadium wearing bland shirts in there. And then he just went out and showed out once again, and he had the interception.
He waved off Cam Newton.
He
circled back. Him and Cam. He circled back.
I think there was a circle back there.
They circled back.
I like what he did. Not with Shadur, though.
No.
Not
no.
with Shadur. Shadur said, no, I'm standing on business, bro.
Yeah.
I didn't play anybody, so you're doubting my skills. Well, guess what, fam? No, don't shake my hand now.
What's your signature win? TCU? Who really
don't do that.
Good?
Don't do that. He doesn't make the schedule. Don't do that. Yeah. And Cam has been a little bit jealous right now, oh boy. Cam got a lot of problem with the young football players coming up. Remember his little football camps? Yeah. He's always arguing with the kids.
He's having a fight with
and he's
one.
Not arguing like a grown man. No. He's saying things to a child like, well, I got more money than you in the bank. Yeah. That ain't it.
That's right. Petty.
That ain't it. That's not it.
I didn't realize Cam Newton had done any opining on Shadur Sanders in the buff. So
he has not been into Shadur.
Wow. Okay. Well, then that makes a ton of sense then if you're Shadur. And it's like, dude, I'm like, does anybody come into your office when you're trying to work here and like try to do something? Like, I'm getting ready for a game right now. I'm literally on the field and we're like 60 minutes to kickoff. I don't think we need to have a bunch of pleasantries and introductions. Do we need to take a picture together here? Can you sign my football, Cam Newton? I mean, what are we doing here? Cam trying to make it about himself before kickoff. How about you wait till after the game, if you even want to do that? But on the heels of you calling the player out for a week schedule that he has no control over, and then you want to go dap him up before the game, that's on you, Cam Newton.
After game pictures kind of a little smelly. You ever back off one of those?
No, that's a good point.
The player's like, no, let's get down here, right under the upright. And
especially
like,
you,
oh, geez.
You get one of these players.
I got to go home and change.
One of these players just took their gloves off their hands, too. Yeah, that's the worst smell in America. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
We're football guys. Yeah.
Football guy. I mean, they are cool pictures, Friday Night Lights and all that. They are.
All righty.
Thank you, Chief.
Yes, you got sir. More?
No, we're good, okay, man. We're okay. Good, yeah.
Always.
Salute to the baseball legend, Mr. Charles Hustle himself, Charlie Hustle, Pete Rose. We did mention at the top of the hour when the news was breaking, and of course, Dikembe Mutombo as well, two legends from the world of sports passing on this Monday. Today's show salutes them. Rose, the three-time World Series champion. How many times do you think he made the All-Star team?
17.
You guys have been watching TV, too.
Well, that's just because I saw it.
1963 NL.
Rookie of the Year.
Yes, and of course, the three-time World Series champion and the all-time hit leader. All-time hit leader there for Charles, for Pete Rose there. And Dikembe Mutombo, born 4 years after Pete Rose's rookie year. Unbelievable that he passes at the age of 58, had the brain cancer. Three-time All-NBA first team, four-time Defensive Player of the Year, eight-time NBA All-Star. And congrats to him and condolences to everybody in his circle. Okay, it is time now to get ready for the Cowboys Hour, which is coming up at 7 o'clock with Jordan Lewis. We might do a little crosstalk with Fred Davis, see what's coming up in the Fan After Dark from 8 to 11. And we're back with more here in the Nation. Welcome back, Nation. We're 10 minutes away from the Cowboys Hour. And Zach Wolchuk's favorite defensive back, Jordan Lewis, will be on with Brad Sham and
Kay
company.
Lou, unlock me, buddy.
What a savior. You know, he's been being good for a long time, been clutch.
Love you, J. Lou.
And we salute Jordan Lewis and all the Cowboys here as they're going to try to get back above 500 here with this week's game against the Steelers. Should be interesting. Then the Lions next week. And then you're looking at bye week and maybe Micah Parsons coming back for the 49ers game. That's what Brian's been telling us throughout the day. Our Cowboys insider and co-host here brought us. It's great to have him on the show. But after the Cowboys hour from 7 to 8, you will have the Fan After Dark. And I can confirm that Fred's going to be on tonight. It'll be Fred and at least one other gentleman there rocking the house talking sports with you. The Mets and Braves ended up splitting. And it was an incredibly dramatic first game going back and forth. And then in the second game, it almost appears as if the Mets rolled over and played dead. Maybe there was a handshake deal in there. I don't know if MLB would frown upon that or not, but I think that's the way I would go. I don't know if any rival that, you know, I would hate more than my desire to be in the playoffs. So I think they did the right thing there. And I'd be shocked if that's, I mean, the Mets had three hits. They were, you know, just getting up there and waving at the thing here to, you know, make good on their part of the deal. And the Braves get the win 3-0. So both those teams are in, and the Arizona Diamondbacks are on the outside looking into the playoffs.
First time,
World Series teams.
Yeah, since 2007, apparently it's the first time that's happened, that you didn't have either team that competed in the World Series make the postseason. But if you were the Braves.
We make history, boys.
Yeah, shit, we did. And it'll be all right, because now every other year, Boach gets his team to a championship, and we can now start the 2025 look ahead.
We're efforting CY for tomorrow's show. It'll be awesome to get a chance to talk with the Rangers GM about, you know, offseason plans, how aggressive they're going to be in the winter, what their main priorities are. And the Rangers are going to have a press conference tomorrow morning as well. So prepare for, you know, quite a bit of Rangers news and Rangers chatter as we go into this super important offseason if they want to get back. Hopefully ownership has everything lined up to be financially committed as much as other of the top markets. How much confidence do you have, Wolchuk, that the Rangers will be able to rekindle some of their 2023 magic next year?
Well, I'm pretty confident, but there is a huge question mark about the long-term health of guys like Josh Young and Evan Carter. Josh Young has not been able to stay healthy for the majority of a season, really, in his big league career. I mean, I guess 2 years ago, he missed 6 weeks. So, I mean, that was probably the best it's been. But this year, you pretty much didn't have him. And then Evan Carter with the back stuff. And I guess at his age, like, he's still growing into his body some. But anytime you're dealing with back issues, that always terrifies me. DeMarcus Lawrence has kind of been the one that we were worried about, and then he overcame it and has had a pretty darn good career.
Yeah.
But with Evan Carter, I mean, those are two key cogs that a year ago we were thinking, like, this is why the future's so bright.
Yeah.
You know, you're young, you're talented, you've got guys, but DeGrom back, I mean, the rotation should be good. But if those guys can stay healthy, then I'm really, really confident this team can get back in the hunt.
It was incredible how good Evan Carter was in that playoff and World Series run. I mean, he was breaking records that weren't just for rookies.
Yeah.
It was for everybody. And it was magical. And I feel like at this point, though, he's got to prove that he can overcome the back injury and then also prove he could hit left-handers.
Yeah.
He can be an everyday player.
We got like, nothing really answered this year. All those questions still count. But hey, Wyatt had a hell of an end of the season. So
he did.
Wyatt Langford, arrows pointing up there too.
So, you know, I kind of look at it like in 10 and 11, you know, or at least let's just go to 2010, coming off the 2009 season where you almost made the playoffs but had a bad September. You're kind of like, well, these are probably, you know, just the Rangers that we're used to. And then it was amazing in 2011. There were huge expectations and 3.5 million fans at the ballpark. By the time we settled into 12 and 13, you're like, okay, this still has the core of something that could be good. They went out and got Prince Fielder and Shin-Soo Chu, and you're like, hey, maybe the Rangers are going to do this. And that's kind of where my mind is right now. Like, yes, they were champions. There's a lot of good players on the team, but there's just so much unknown. You know, and anytime you have Jacob DeGrom, you could either have the world's best pitcher or you could have a massive nothing burger. Are they going to bring back Eovaldi? You know, are, you know, Ray loves to talk about drafting and developing. Are they going to turn back into that mode and maybe not spend as much until they get a number of prospects to arrive at the big league level ready to contend before they want to spend again? Was Ray Davis satisfied by the one championship that no doubt he felt obligated to spend after we gave him the new stadium? He spent, you know, and hopefully he's willing to do that. I can't imagine being that age and thinking, oh, no, I don't want to spend or lose any money because I want to be able to give extra tens of millions of dollars to my family before, you know, or when I depart. I think that's just, you know, it just doesn't resonate with me, but maybe that's why I'm not a billionaire. Is Washington the best team in the NFC East right now?
And I think yes.
Yeah, right now, today, for sure. It's a very long season and the attrition, of course, but also how defenses adjust to your rookie quarterback and how he develops more counter punches. And then same with Cliff Kingsbury, who's been a guy that has had some hot starts in Arizona for some years, and then that has spiraled out of control. So I'm still tempering things, and let's not forget that they've beaten the three teams they've beaten are all 28th or worse in defensive success rate. So
is it because they played them though?
And to some extent,
drop the numbers down a little.
To some extent, you could say that for sure. But I think in general, you're talking about defenses that are, I mean, they're not very good. But that's really the only critique you can have to what Washington's done to this point. Right now, today, they beat the Cowboys. Right now, today, they beat the Eagles on a neutral field or whatever. It doesn't matter. I mean, he's electric. They got a rushing attack. And, I mean, they've proven to have answers to this point, and they're keeping them clean.
Probably go to 4-1.
They don't look like Indians to me.
Probably go Commanders over the Browns this weekend. That's a safe bet. And then Ravens. But then they're back to Panthers, Bears, Giants, Steelers.
The schedule's very,
very favorable
for them.
They might end up with the best record of the NFC. I don't know if that means they would be a favorite, but I mean, scanning through their schedule, it's laughable. It almost looks like the Cowboys' schedule from the last couple of years.
The thing, too, to consider about Washington is just how bad their defense is as well, and how much at some point that's going to hurt them in a huge way.
For sure. Well, thank you, gentlemen. Thanks to Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup over there at Master Control. Just went 5 hours flawless. Thanks to Caitlin coordinating your video. You can watch us at 105thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. Thanks to Woolchuck and Chia Follow and Brian Broaddus. I'm Gavin Dawson. Till tomorrow at 2 o'clock, you're going home with the G-Bag Nation. At ease.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT!
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.